Is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
It is Wednesday, and I pray it's looking like a wonderful day for you. We want to thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God. If you don't know where that is, we are two blocks north of 520. We are two blocks west of Courtney Parkway in Merritt Island. So we're right in the central part of the island. If you're in North Melbourne, we're not that far away from you. If you don't have a church home, we would love for you in Rockledge. We have people that come from Port St. John. We have people who come from the beaches. We have people from, you know, the neighborhood of the church. We have people that come from all over. When we first came to Merit Assembly of God, there were some friends of ours. They traveled for an hour from Palm Bay. Now, they didn't do it every week, but whenever they were able, they were elderly. Whenever they were able to get out and go to church, they would come up and be a part of us. And there's a funny story. They came up and wanted to take us out to eat, and I was just finishing a fast. It was a 10-day fast that I hadn't had anything, just water. And they took us out to lunch, and man, I learned a little bit about how to come off of a fast that, because it almost killed me. I was very sick after that, but it was great seeing them and hanging out with them. And I miss that restaurant that we went to that day. It's not been on Merritt Island for decades now, but I tell you that because some of you may think Merritt Island sounds so far away, but it's really not. There are people that drive much further than that for their jobs, for shopping, for entertainment. And if you don't have a church home, don't let a 10, 15-minute car ride keep you from the house of God. If you're looking for a church home, we would love it if you would consider Merit Assembly of God. So let me say thank you today to the folks of Wyrick Air, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. I was in the studio here not too long ago and was making an announcement for Wyrick Air Heat and Electric, and I said, you know what, I need to call them. I need to have them come out and take a look at a situation in my house and get that resolved. And so, you know, when you've got a limited amount of knowledge and you've got a person with a whole lot of knowledge, I hope that you go with the person with a whole lot of knowledge, because that's what I do. Wyrick Air has been providing professional sales, services, and repairs in the electrical field, heating, and air conditioning for over 40 years. I have a feeling that out of those three, heaters are their least required field of expertise here in Brevard County, but you never know. They work in residential and light commercial settings, and they provide emergency service when necessary. They always strive to provide you with the best service possible and at an affordable price. So before you find yourself in need of their services, give them a call, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. So yesterday we were talking about baptism. By the way, let me invite you out to our Fire Bible Discipleship class tonight. If you'd like to grow in your relationship with God, we have study Bibles that are available. It is the Fire Bible Study Bible is the premier Pentecostal study Bible in the world. We have raised funds for 15 to 20 years for Fire Bibles to be placed in the hands of pastors in other countries. And now, you know, because I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, we're putting the Fire Bible into the hands of our saints at Merit Assembly of God, because we want to be disciples who make disciples. And so we alternate as far as who's teaching that. It's the material that is what is really important. And so if you'd like to come out, still very early in the process, you don't have, it's not like a college course where you have to get in on the first class or you've got to wait for another semester. This is done in such a way that you can get in at any given point in the journey and you still accomplish the same goal. So we'd like to invite you out tonight at 7 p.m. to Merit Assembly of God. So we've talked a whole lot about the service type encounter that Peter had at Cornelius' house, the things that Peter spoke, the visitations from the angel to Cornelius, the visit of the angel to Peter, you know, the commandment to speak, the preaching, the various things that Peter communicated, and then the moving of the Holy Spirit, and it resulted in the baptism of Cornelius, his friends, and his household. There's one last little nugget of truth, and we're going to transition into chapter 11 here of this. In chapter 48, it says, "And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days." That verse there at the end, that very last sentence of verse 48, said, "Then they asked him to stay a few days." There's something that doesn't get nearly enough discussion, in my opinion, about living a successful Christian life, and that is the importance of fellowship. Peter is getting ready to experience one of the challenges and one of the benefits of doing ministry, creating a community of faith where you actually get to spend time with one another. I heard a story one time as a joke. It didn't happen, but there was a guy that got stranded on a deserted island, and the only thing that he had to do while he was there is he had been in the construction industry, and so while he was on this deserted island, he built a house and he built some other structures, and so finally somebody stumbled upon the island and they found this guy, and he said, "Well, come here and let me show you around." He said, this is the house that I built." And they said, "Oh, great." And said, "Well, what's this over here?" He said, "Well, that's the library." And they said, "Well, what's this structure over here?" And he said, "Well, you know, that's the church that I go to." He said, "Well, what's this building over here?" "Well, that's the church I used to go to." Sometimes, you know, and this guy's all by himself on an island, he couldn't even get along with himself. You and I, we need to realize that we are God's gifts to one another. And I mean that when I say it, and that, you know, not only does he who finds a wife finds a good thing, but he who finds another believer finds a good thing. We need one another. Men are easily deceived in this area. We think that we don't need to interact with other people, but I'm here to tell you that we do. Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. So I can tell you that in nearly 30 years at Merit Assembly of God, I've preached a lot of sermons. But some of the sermons that I remember the most are sermons that people who've grown in their faith at Merit Assembly of God have preached. And to me, listen, I rejoice when I get to lead someone to Jesus. I rejoice even more when I see somebody from the church who's grown in their faith to the point that they're leading other people to Jesus. I'm thankful for the privilege that I have to be the pastor and to share the word of God, but it is a great blessing to me when I see people who have grown in their faith at Merit Assembly of God, and now they're being utilized in their gifts of bringing the Word of God. And so let me just give you an example, and it is a passage. It's been in the Bible my whole life, but I can tell you the first time that I was struck by this verse, impressed by this verse, was when one of the men from the church preached this, I think on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night, I don't remember, but in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 17, it said, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." And he preached that, and he said, "I'm thankful that I have a pastor that watches over my soul." You know, I just want you to know that if David could be deceived, that Jesus said, you know, that there were difficult times that were coming, and if it was possible, even the very elect would be deceived. I'm here to tell you that there are multiple layers of defense when you are walking in relationship, that if you've got a blind spot, you don't have to be deceived by that if you are walking in relationship and fellowship with God. And so that guy that preached, he said, I am thankful for people who, for pastor who's watching over my soul. And he said, but in order for him to do that, then I need to walk in obedience. I need to walk in submission so that he is able to do his job with joy and not with grief. And I will tell you that that individual is a source of great joy to my life personally, to the ministry at Merit Assembly of God. It is a privilege to be that man's pastor. It's a privilege to be a pastor of all the people. But listen, he said, because this is what when I make pastor's job a joy, he said, it's profitable for me. And so it says, for that would be unprofitable for you. I remember getting struck with the Word of God for a person that I've had the privilege of doing life together with a few days a week for, you know, not quite 30 years, about 28 years, I would say. And, man, they are a blessing. Not just to me, they're a blessing to the body of Christ. Who you hang out with, who your friends are, the Bible says that bad company corrupts good character. The people you hang out with impact you on a character level. And so Cornelius and his friends said, look, could we fellowship for a few days? If you go back to Acts chapter 2, when, you know, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit had happened, it says in verse number 40, that says, "And with many other words, he, Peter, testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." I can tell you, Merit Assembly of God is not properly equipped for 3,000 people to get saved in one single service. I don't know of any church in Brevard County that is. But all of us together, yes. So we need to prepare ourselves for the harvest of believers or unbelievers becoming believers that God wants to bring to Central Brevard County. And verse number 42 says this, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. They said, man, being a part of the church is glorious. It's beneficial. So when was the last time that you had a meal with one another? See, if you were to ask me, what are the strengths of Merit Assembly of God? I would name three things. I would say that one of our strengths is the preaching of the word. The second strength that I would say is that we have a heart for missions. And the third thing that I would say is we love to fellowship with other believers. One of the difficult things about COVID was it impacted two of the three things that are our strengths. We didn't get to have as many missionaries come through during COVID, and we didn't have as much fellowship. We didn't get to rub elbows, share testimonies as much as we normally like to do. And so we are thankful that we are able to move forward. And so if you don't have other believers that you are fellowshipping with, take the initiative and say, hey, would you like to go get a hamburger? You know, a hamburger is not going to break your budget. If you haven't got to have a hamburger, let me know. I'll buy you a hamburger. I'm not afraid to buy a hamburger. I believe God can provide the finances to buy somebody a hamburger. You need fellowship. I need fellowship. And so we're thankful. So, Peter hung out with Cornelius and his crew for a few days into chapter 11. So there's the good news of fellowship. Here's the challenge of fellowship. Chapter 11, verse number 1. Now the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him, saying, you went into uncircumcised men and ate with them. Exclamation point is in my Bible. Okay. The challenge with fellowship is we are redeemed, but we're still living in a fallen world. God has saved our spirits, but we still think that our perspective is going to be right. And so there ends up being this process through which we have to deal with an incorrect perception, or we have to deal with strife or discord. This was, by the word of God's own description, a contentious return to Judea. That Judea is the region. You know, it would be the state of Florida if Brevard County, if Merritt Island was Jerusalem, then Judea would be the state of Florida. It was that region. And so when they return, let me start off with the positive thing first. The first thing that they heard was that the Gentiles had received the word of God. It is very important. One of the key aspects of the timing of whenever Jesus comes back is taking the word of God to the farthest extremes here on the earth to make sure that everybody has the opportunity to hear. Now, I believe that we have a role in that. I do also believe that the reason that some people have not heard is because some of their predecessors created a culture that was hostile to the word of God. And I can take you to places where churches were once thriving that churches now are prohibited. That's not God's fault. That's somebody else's fault. Okay, but we need to celebrate whenever the word of God goes forth. So there's a ministry over in Orlando, Wycliffe, and they are empowered by their ministry by the call of God to take the word of God to the ends of the earth. And so they're constantly translating the Bible into languages that there is no word of God there. So, you know, I speak English. I speak English from Oklahoma. That's where my English comes from. There are some places where there are multiple languages that are spoken, and so they might not have the language in their native tongue, but they're able to understand to some degree another. We're trying to make it to where people have as easy an opportunity as possible to hear the word of God. So there was, when they heard this, Peter came to Jerusalem, and there were other believers who lashed out and were not happy about Peter's behavior, about what he had done. You went into the to uncircumcised men, and you ate with them. You know, if we are not careful, we can develop as believers the same mindset that Jesus contended with during his ministry. Okay, Jesus was known as a friend of sinners. If this person, this is what was said about Jesus, if this person was truly a prophet, he would know the type of person that he's hanging out with, the type of person that he's sharing food with, the type of person that he's interacting with. And I'll tell you, one of those situations was with a tax collector. And Jesus at the end of that said, I tell you what, salvation has come to this house today. So we have to guard our heart, not just up until the day of salvation. We have to guard our heart even after salvation. We have to remain teachable and correctable. We also need to remain accountable. Okay? If you are living life under mission, then you need to make sure that you stay on task. Okay? I've got some friends, and their daughter is a very gifted in the form of ballet. And ballet, they spend years training to be able to get to the on-point position, the special shoes that are made, and they go through a lot of those specifically designed and engineered shoes. They buy them in abundance. They buy them by the dozens. And from what I understand, there's a supply chain issue there. We've got to make sure that we stay on point when it comes to living life the way that God wants us to live. And so these people were very, very upset because tradition has been broken. Okay, now I will tell you this. You come from a culture. I come from a culture. The culture of Oklahoma doesn't necessarily equate to the same type of culture here in Florida. One of the things that I've heard for years is don't bring the culture from where you came and try and mess up our culture here. I want you to know that there is nothing necessarily godly about the culture from where you came. Hopefully, you're talking about a culture where you came into the house of God, you heard the word of God, you feasted on the word of God, you lived the word of God, you learned the word of God, and you taught the word of God. Hopefully that's your culture, okay? But if you came from an ungodly culture, that culture outside of the body of Christ doesn't necessarily equate to in the body of Christ. And so a lot of times people try and equate the culture that they came from with godliness, and I'm here to tell you that's just not the case. And the reason that I say that here in this case is these people that were believers who were Jewish, and Jewish people had been taught not to fraternize, not to hang out with, not to associate with. Don't go into the house of a person that wasn't Jewish. Don't eat with a person that's not Jewish. They had been trained to have a culture where they did not interact with other cultures very well at all. Some of that was because there had been hostility towards them. Sometimes that was because of hostilities that they had created on their own. But I can tell you this, God's not looking just to redeem people who are just like me. He's not looking to forgive people who are just from Oklahoma. He's looking to reach the world. Jesus was the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. And in order for the world to have their sins taken away, we're going to have to communicate the gospel with them. The church was in Acts chapter 11 is at a crossroads because the truth that Peter had just experienced in Acts chapter 10 was creating contention because this new truth was in conflict with the way that they had always lived. I will tell you this. When it comes to my lifestyle, if my lifestyle is in contradiction to the Word of God, I don't change the Word to fit my lifestyle. I am required to change my lifestyle to fit the Word. And so I have people that I fellowship with. I have people that I'm accountable to. And I have people who speak correction into my life. And I will tell you, my attitude is this. I don't dislike them for speaking correction into my life. I welcome the correction into my life because I know they're actually acting in love to set me up to succeed. God disciplines those he loves. Correction is not it can be done badly. You don't want that. You want to do it well. You want to do it godly. But correction is actually a gift from God. And I pray today that you and I will not be sources of conflict in the church, but instead we would make peace with all men as much as it resides within us to do. See you next time.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Lean upon your throne. trust in you.